بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف خلق الله وأطهر رسله وخاتم أنبيائه سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلة. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم فمن أوتي كتابه بيمينه فأولئك يقرؤون كتابهم ولا يظلمون فتيلا. ومن كان في هذه أعمى فهو في الآخرة أعمى وأضل سبيلا. أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. The issue of religious and political leadership in Islam is one of the most critical and consequential issues that has become during the last decades as one of the most debated issues, not only within the Muslim world and the Muslim community, but also among the intelligentsia and the intellectual circles in the West too. Not only the intelligentsia in the West is interested in finding out and discussing and debating this issue, even military institutions, even intelligence institutions are also interested. Political communities are also grappling with the issue of leadership in Islam, in particular the issue of the leadership of Sayyiduna wa Mawlana al-Imam al-Mahdi al-Muntazar arwahuna lahu al-fida. The issue of the leadership of our Imam, the last Imam, the 12th Imam, his leadership, his existence, is by far the most controversial and sensational issues that have been discussed during our recent times in the East and the West. And therefore tonight, I'd like to dedicate one night out of these 11 nights of the Ashura sessions. I'd like to dedicate this night to speak about this Imam, the hidden Imam, the forgotten Imam, the Imam who is the current leader, the current proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the major sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this universe. Tonight, we salute this Imam and we dedicate our feelings and our minds and our souls for him. And I say that the issue of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi is deeply rooted in the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, the tradition of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, I'd like to focus my attention tonight on the rational explanation of this phenomena, of this concept, of this idea of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. Where did it hail from? How did it evolve? And why such an important personality? Why such person is important in our tradition? And our faith remains incomplete if we do not believe in him. And I will prove to you that how the faith remains incomplete and deficient without the belief and the fellowship of the last Imam, the 12th Imam. We will go through this, inshallah. Bear with me. Let me begin with this preface first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe, this system that you see, based on one of the important laws and orders, organic structures, one of the important disciplines. There are several disciplines that govern this universe. One of them is termed as the law of the cause and effect. Al-illatu wal-ma'lul. As-sababu wal-musabbib. Cause and effect. Even in the philosophy in the West, they believe in the cause and effect. This is not something confined in the Islamic circles or the Islamic philosophy. Cause and effect. This law and order has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what reason? Although we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through his omnipotence, he is omnipotent, and he is well able to run and to interfere directly in the affairs of this universe, to run them himself without help. Allah is self-sufficient. Yeah. I request you to make some room for the sisters and the brothers who are coming. Rahimallah ban dhakar al-qa'ima min ali Muhammad. Would you stand and Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And move forward. Stand and move forward. I think we can extend the room for sisters on this side. If you can push this barrier, push it to the front. Yes. Make some room for the sisters there. Make room for sisters who are standing there in this area, this area, this area, Sayyidina Umm Ahmed, this area, here, here, that's it. Can you push this forward, push it? Push this barrier forward. اليوم من يصور؟ صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Let's pay attention, please. I need a more powerful salawat. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. One of them is the cause and effect. Allah can interfere directly in our affairs. Allah can help, can feed, sustain, heal himself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for a number of reasons, we are not going to discuss them tonight, to run the affairs of this universe through intermediaries and agents and mediums who are created by him, and they receive orders and commands from him. And thus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created some objects and some people to help us. Those are intermediaries. Some of the objects are the sun, the moon, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرُ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ سَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ Allah is the source of light, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the light to us through what? Through the sun. The light and the heat comes through the sun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of feeding you. Allah gives you food. However, Allah does not put the bite into your mouth. Allah sends you the food through your parents, through your mother and father, through your breadwinner. هو الذي يطعمني ويسقين. It is him, in fact, in reality. But through intermediaries, not in a direct way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches you and educates you and inspires you. Through what? You learn. Through whom? Through the school and the teacher. The teacher is the intermediary here, the agent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows healing. When we get sick, the healing is from him. وَإِذَا مَرِثْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. But you have to go through doctors and hospitals and clinics. These are the intermediaries. You have to get the medicine. Without medicine, you are not going to get healed. But the healing comes from him. And likewise, when it comes to the spiritual matters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of guidance. Allah is the source of divine guidance. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is not you who guide, O Prophet. It is God. God is the source of guidance. However, how does God inspire us? Do you go home and speak to God and he comes to you into your dream and you see him? He's visible. How does he inspire you? Saint Paul, one of the fierce enemies of Christianity and Jesus, he decided to travel to Damascus to persecute the followers of Christianity. He says, when I was going from Jerusalem to Damascus, halfway through, he was an enemy of Jesus. And he was going to kill the Christians. But he saw a vision. He claims that he saw God. God appeared to him. We in Islam, we don't buy such story. God does not appear to anyone. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, قال ربي أرني أنظر إليك. I have faith in my heart, but I want to consolidate my faith. Would you allow me to have a glance at you? قال إنك لن تراني. لن, forever. Neither you nor anyone else. You are not able to see me. I do not have a physical body to see me. And you can't. Therefore, you can't. However, you can see some of my reflections. Look at the mountain. You're going to see some of God's reflections appear on the mountain. And this is what he saw. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. He could not even take God's reflection on the mountain, let alone to see God himself. How does God inspire us? Through scriptures, messengers, prophets, and disciples of prophets, imams. We call them in the Shia tradition imams, infallible imams. Through this, Allah inspires us. These are intermediaries and agents, mediums of God's blessing and mercy to the humanity. He does not interfere himself. He does not come to you while you are in your room. And if you hear anyone saying that I saw God today, I was sitting in my kitchen, I was sitting in my room, God appeared to me, that person has something wrong here. He has an illusion. He needs to go to a psychiatric. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلِ وَإِسْحَاقِ وَيَعْقُوبِ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. We believe not only in what our prophet received. All chain of messengers and prophets, they are linked to each other, strongly linked. They are together. This is the chain of messengers. Islam does not begin with the Prophet, our Prophet. Islam begins with Adam, the first man who worshipped Allah on earth. This is the beginning of the journey of Islam. And we have to believe in them. And they believe in all the messengers, all scriptures, all books, all prophets, culminates in the belief of the belief in the last messenger and a prophet for the humanity. And this is Khatam al-Anbiya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you take one out of this chain, one prophet, put him out, you take all out. All out. So you have to accept them all. We can't exclude one of them and say, I don't like him. I don't like his story. You have to believe in all of them. This is the Islamic faith. And the Islamic faith is not complete unless you believe in the last message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, they believe in the last message in Islam and they believe in all messengers, in all prophets, in all books, in all scriptures, in all anbiya would remain incomplete until you believe in the last wasi. As we have last prophet, we have last wasi. We have khatamul anbiya and we have khatamul awsiya, the seal of the messengers, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have the seal of the successors, and this is al-imam al-mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. For every prophet there is a disciple and successor. And I have elaborated on this in details in the humble book that you find outside, Inquiries About Shia Islam. Why there is a disciple and successor and wasi for every prophet. Not only our prophet, all the anbiya. If you study the history of all the messengers of Allah, you find for each and every one of them, there is a disciple, there is a successor, wasi, who continues his path. Until another prophet appears, another prophet comes. Musa had wasi, Isa had wasi, and our prophet has 12 successors. And they are ordained and chosen by Allah, not people. This is not open for general public election. This is a special choice made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order for us to believe in Islam, we have to believe in the message and the mission of the last wasi, not only the last messenger. Are you with me? Last messenger and last wasi, last disciple. And therefore, When Allah speaks about imamah, succession, imamah in the Quran is succession to the Prophet. Look the way at the way Allah describes imamah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. When you open Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 3. Allah terms imamah, when he speaks about imamah, he uses two beautiful terms. He says, akmaltu and atmamtu. When he appoints the imam after the Prophet, Allah says, now I have completed, and perfected. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. After appointing the imam. Before that, religion was not complete. Once he appointed the wasi, the successor, the imam, today religion became completed. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. And perfected. Because the thing is not perfect if something is missing. If something is missing, you don't call it perfect. It is imperfect. So with the imamah, Islam became perfect, complete and perfect. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Now why faith is completed with the imamah and without it is incomplete, deficient, imperfect? Why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the journey of faith in this universe that began with Adam has to end with al-Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wa salam. And for each and every time and era in the history of mankind, there is a leader, either a messenger, either a prophet, or a disciple, successor to the prophet. You would not find from the beginning of the creation, you would never find a period of time that the earth lacked an imam or a prophet. There is always either prophet or imam. Always. And therefore, to complete your deen and faith, you have to believe in al-Imam al-Mahdi. There is no other choice. Let me give you this example. If you apply for a job today, job, loan, citizenship, apply for a passport, the first thing you have to do is to fill forms. Sometimes it's one piece of form, sometimes 2 pages, 3, 4 pages. And once you fill it in details, you have to sign and date. But if you don't sign and date, would this form has validity or credibility or value? No. In some countries, they will return it to you by mail. They say you forgot to sign. Put your signature here. Otherwise, if it is not signed, it would render the form useless. They put it in the recycle bin. They don't look into it. You have to endorse. You have to sign. Imamah. Especially the Imam of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, the last Imam, Hujjatullah ala al-Khalq, is the endorsement of faith. Without it, faith has no signature. You need to put your signature. And therefore, Allah's message, the entire message of this universe, the entire message of all scriptures, all messengers, all the anbiyas, is centralized and focalized and concentrated in the mission, in the leadership, in the existence of Baqiyatullah al-A'zam, al-Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu farajahu al-Sharif. And here we live under his leadership today. And you have to believe in his existence. But you may tell me then, where is he? I don't see him. Why we don't see him? What is the way to see him? Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about super faith in the Quran, not faith, super faith, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-Kitabu la rayba fihi hudan lil-muttaqin. The characteristics
of the righteous and the pious is what? The first thing is what? Before he mentions the prayers, no mentioning of prayers or fasting. What is number one here? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe, those who have faith in the unseen, in the invisible. Allah addresses our hearts first, not our eyes. None of us saw him with our own eyes, physical eyes, outer eyes. We saw him with our inner eyes, inner vision. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah wants you to believe in ghaib first. If you cannot believe in ghaib, if ghaib is too much for you, the unseen, the invisible is too much for you, you can't take it, you cannot go to the next step. You may pray, but your prayers is rendered useless. The fasting would not help. The hajj is fruitless. The zakat is waste of time. Because you did not do the first step. You did not enter faith through the right gate. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَمِمَّا رُزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. But first, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah wants you to believe in the ghaib first. The believe in the ghaib means that I surrender myself to Allah. I don't see the prophets, the anbiyas. I do not see him. But I have faith inside my heart. The belief is here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the belief in the heart. Allah says when you believe, when you have the inner vision and inner sight, when you believe in your heart, this is the right belief. This is the right belief. مَا كَذَبَ الْفُعَادُ مَا رَأَى. When you look with your eyes, sometimes your eyes deceive you. There is optical illusion, which is used in Hollywood nowadays. You can see things, but there is nothing there. Animations, not real. But Allah says, when you look through your heart, you see the reality. There is no illusions anymore. مَا كَذَبَ الْفُعَادُ مَا رَأَى. And therefore, we look at God through our hearts. We discover Imam Mahdi alayhi salam not through our physical eyes, through our spiritual vision, the inner vision, al-basira here. Through here, we understand him and we realize him. And this is much stronger than this. Because this one does not accept illusion or deception or lie. This one sees the truth. And the faith, the center of the faith in man, where is the center of faith? Where is the center of love? Where is the center of belief? You know why do we do this when we greet one another? In the Arab culture, in the Eastern culture, we put the hand here. It means that I'm loyal to you. You are in my heart. Your place is here. This is the meaning when you put it on your... In America, when they salute the flag, they put the hand here on the heart. This is the center of faith and love and belief. And therefore, in order for us to see the Imam and understand him, we have to cleanse the heart, purify it, refine it from sinful acts. When there is sin, when the heart is filled with sins, my heart would not function and would not be able to understand the Imam. Because Allah says, in order for you to understand the Imam and reach to him, you have to have a strong faith. And the strong faith has to be emanating from the heart. And the heart should be a healthy heart, strong heart. And the heart that carries sins is the weakest heart. So we have to clear the heart first. We have to clear the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I only help those who help themselves. Stop sinning. Not only for one night or two nights, for a period of time. Usually spiritual cleansing needs at least 40 days and nights. 40 days and nights. It needs resilience. It needs deep faith. It needs patience and fortitude and farsightedness. It does not happen overnight. And brothers and sisters, To be able to believe in Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wa salam, you need a much stronger faith. Because faith has been divided into levels and degrees. The first step, the kindergarten step for faith is to believe in Allah, Tawheed, monotheism. This is the first step. After that, once you are finished with that, you recognize Him, you believe in Him, you trust Him, you go to the second level, second grade, and that is to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once you believe in that, you go to the third one, to believe in the Quran. And then you go up and up and up. The top level of faith is to believe in the leadership, the existence, the authority of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah says in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا. Nas here, people, means the Muslims. They think that we leave them alone without testing them, examining their faith. أَفَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. They just claim that we believe in Islam, believe in God and the Prophet, and there is no more test. There is some more tests ahead of them. There are some more tests. We test them through the belief, the faith in Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. Some Muslims came to the Prophet, قالت الأعراب آمنا. The Prophet answered them, قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. You are Muslims, but to be able to obtain faith, real faith, you have to take the entire message. And in order for us today to take the entire message, the final touch of our message of our Islam is the faith and the belief in Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. Without it, our Islam is incomplete. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I help you. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى. If you want to more guidance, we will come to you. We will come to your help. We will reach out to you. We would not let you remain alone. We will help you. But if you insist in wrongdoing, look at the story, one of the stories of the children of Israel in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test them with a very light, small test. Very small test. Musa came to them. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. Very small test, huh? He came to his community. He said, God is commanding you to offer in sacrifice a hive, a cow, heifer or cow. أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. They were shocked. They came, they said to him, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. Are you taking us as a mockery? Are you serious? God wants us to sacrifice a cow? For what reason? They were not convinced. قالوا أتتخذنا هزوا. قال أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين. I'm a prophet. I'm here for guiding you. I'm not here for wasting your time and making you a mockery. Yes, it sounds ridiculous. Allah wants you to slay or sacrifice a cow. But yet, this is the commands of Allah and you have to do that. This is a test. Allah is testing them. Allah says at the end, فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. They were so reluctant. They did it, but not with a good will. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. They failed in that test. They failed. But when it comes to us, the Muslim nation, 3,000 years later, our time, Allah today is testing us not with a cow, not with animals, not to offer sacrifice. Allah is testing us with this formidable, powerful, tough test, the belief in Ahlul Bayt in general, and specifically in the mission of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam.
And thus, not all people pass this test. Many failed, unfortunately. Many Muslims today, they failed.
When you come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you examine the hadiths of the Prophet, numerous, one of the Shafi'i scholars, the Shafi'i school of Islam, Al-Kanjiyu Shafi'i, he compiled 1,000 hadith only from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Al-Imam Al-Mahdi that applies and conform to Al-Imam Al-Mahdi. Beside hundreds of verses in the Quran, hundreds of verses in the Quran that apply to him. And the Prophet, in some of these hadith, he mentions his first name, his last name, his nickname, his description, his physical description, his spiritual description, the circumstances of his reappearance, the place of his reappearance, his companions, his disciples,
all are narrated by the Prophet and mentioned by the Prophet.
And the Prophet says, he is min wuldi Fatima, descendants of my daughter Fatima, specifically the descendants of Hussein, specifically the son of Al-Hasan Al-Askari. They are all mentioned by the Prophet. And Muslims unanimously accept these hadith and these narrations, except for those who have mental and psychological problems. Someone like Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah, who lived about 700 years ago, someone who has sickness in his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. He has sickness in his heart. And this virus is called the virus of hypocrisy. There is no medicine for it. Go to the pharmacy and tell him, I am a hypocrite. Do you have a syrup for that? Some tablets for that? Injection for that? He says, no. Allah says, there is deep rooted in their hearts, there is hypocrisy, sickness. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا. When they turn away from Allah, Allah would never guide them. Allah guide the one who loves guidance. But if you reject guidance, Allah would not help you. This man, Ibn Taymiyyah, he's not someone who's ignorant, but he's a bigot. He has a prejudice against Ahlul Bayt. In his heart, there is a prejudice against Ahlul Bayt, against Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to Imam Ali. He says to him, Ya Ali, لا يحبك إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا منافق. O Ali, the one who loves you, he's a true believer. And the one who prays 5 times a day and fasts and goes to Hajj, but he can't help it. He has hypocrisy in his heart. This is the one who hates you. This is the one who, and Ibn Taymiyyah is one of them. Allah says, في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. Allah says, فإنها لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. Ibn Taymiyyah has good vision. He can read the hadith and the ayat. He can read because he's one of the prominent transmitters of hadith. But yet, his eyes can see the hadith. But his heart is blind. The heart is blind. فإنها لا تعمل أبصار. And Allah says, such examples who are blind, spiritually blind in this life, they are going to be even more worse on the day of judgment. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. If he cannot find his way here in this life, then definitely he's not going to be able to find his way there. Ibn Taymiyyah is one of them. You know what the Prophet said to Imam Ali one day? Allahu Akbar. And this hadith is narrated by prominent Sunni scholars. You know that? The Prophet turned to Imam Ali one day and he said to him, Ya Ali, inna laka min Isa shabaha. You have some striking similarities with Jesus, similar to him. Imam Ali said, how? He said, أحبه قوم فألهوه وعبدوه وأبغضه قوم فبهتوا أمه. The community was divided when it came to Isa. Some people canonized him, sanctified him, and they started worshipping him. They considered him the divine. On the other hand, some people were so hateful to him that they defamed his noble mother.
قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء. They suggested when she carried the baby Jesus returning to her community, Bani Israel, they said to her, wow, this is terrible. Your father was a chaste father. Your mother is a noble mother. How do you have an affair and bring this baby to us? They defamed his mother out of hatred, not out of ignorance, out of hatred. And this is what we have in Islam, in the world of Islam. And Ibn Taymiyyah is the founding father of modern terrorism today. If America wants to find out about who is the real terrorist, they have to study the history of Ibn Taymiyyah and those who followed his tradition, and one of them is Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Terrorism started 700 years ago by Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah, who wrote a thesis encouraging his followers to slay and assassinate and eradicate Shi'ism. And he said, this is mandatory, this is wajib, wajib to kill the Shia. Those in Iraq who are killing scores and scores of innocent women and children in the marketplace, in the schools, in the hospitals, in the streets, they are inspired by Ibn Taymiyyah. And he will have a prolonged standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. It's an assault against the humanity. If one innocent person is killed, one person. This is the legacy of Ibn Taymiyyah, legacy of hatred and terrorism. However, this man, one of the very few historians who rejects Imam al-Mahdi, and he says this is a myth. This is a myth. He denies and disproves the whole concept, the whole concept. Because it does not suit his ill mind and sick mind and a prejudiced mind that he has. Now, brothers and sisters, for the Imam to reappear, to come back to the community, to be able to see him and work with him and follow him, two things are needed. Two prerequisites. One is God's orders. God's willingness. وَمَا أَمْرُ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ. The Prophet says, المهدي منا يصلح الله يصلح الله أمره في ليلة. It could be overnight. Nobody knows. When the day of judgment begins, we all believe in the day of judgment. But can you tell me when it begins? Nobody can tell you. Nobody. This knowledge, this information belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only to Allah. He knows. So when the Imam is going to reappear, nobody knows. Allah knows, and Allah gives permission. One, we are ready. And this is the second prerequisite. Our receptivity, our readiness, our preparedness. If we are willing to support justice and truth on earth, if we stand with him, not against him. If we stand with him, if we are ready for that, he will reappear. He will be ready to come and help. We are aspiring his reappearance, not only Muslims, mankind, entire mankind are waiting for the Savior. But we are not ready. We. It is our problem, not his problem. It is not God's problem, our own problem. We have to examine ourselves, our attitudes, our akhlaq. Are we ready to be with him? Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he's seeking quality followers, not any Muslim, not anyone who faces the Qibla and does five times the prayers a day. Imam wants someone to stand with him, even if it goes against me. If Imam comes to me and tell me what you are doing is wrong, change yourself, change your career, change your house, change your habit, change your akhlaq. Am I ready to listen to him and tell him, or I would tell him, sorry, no, this is too much for me. I love my job, I love my life, I love my lifestyle, I'm not going to join you. Let me examine myself.
The Imam says in one of the hadith, in one of his narrations, the Imam says, فَمَا يَحْبِسُنَا عَنْهُمْ إِلَّا مَا يَصِلُنَا مِمَّا نَكْرَهُهُ. What prevents us from reappearing and reuniting with our community is the bad news that we hear from them. You know the meaning of bad news? Is our misdeeds, sinful acts. These delays the reappearance of the Imam. And the mission of the Imam would not be based on violence. There are few narrations that says the Imam will appear with a sword in his right hand. These are not true, brothers and sisters. You have to examine. We have to carefully examine the narrations and the hadith. The mission of the Imam is not based on violence. The mission of the Imam depends on the power of intellect and the power of manners and akhlaq. These two important tools of the Imam. The manners, akhlaq, and ilm. Intellect and akhlaq. An Imam, alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes to spread peace and justice, stability. He's not about creating more violence on earth. He's not about that. The Imam is the champion of peace and justice, not the champion of revenge and bloodshed. So we have to stop depicting him as a murderer. Unfortunately, when you read some books, they tell you wait until the Imam comes and he will wipe out the entire United Kingdom, you know, or America, or Europe. Where is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَبَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And this is one of the ayat that applies to the Imam. الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He's not about killing. He's about spreading peace and justice, enjoining good and forbidding violence and forbidding evil. Today, our current world is characterized by moral decadence. And the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is coming and his message is about spreading akhlaq, spreading peace, good manners. Islamic manners, Islamic attitude. The world today is overwhelmed with iniquities, injustice, tyranny, bigotry, prejudice, discrimination, hostilities, and hatred. And the Imam would not bring another hatred with him. And you cannot fight prejudice with prejudice or hate with another hate. You have to fight prejudice with tolerance and hate with mercy. This is what the Imam is going to do. This is the mission of the Imam. And I wish some of the world leaders today, they would listen to this. They would listen to what the Prophet of Christianity said 2,000 years ago, Isa alayhi salam. Isa turns to his community and he says to them, لَقَدْ قِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ الْعَيْنُ بِالْعَيْنُ وَالسِّنُّ بِالسِّنُ وَلَكِنَّنِي أَقُولُ لَا تَرُدُّ الشَّرَّ بِالشَّرِّ. I wish for those Christian leaders, political leaders in America, here in Downing Street, to hear what Jesus said. This is Jesus عليه السلام. This is not Prophet Muhammad. He said, it has been said and ordained for communities before you to retaliate eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But what I say today to you, O my followers, the Christian people who believe in me, do not repulse evil with evil. Do not repulse evil with evil.
You are not going to solve people's problems through evil and violence. Imam is the messenger of peace. Imam is the messenger of reconciliation, building, not destroying. And let me conclude with one more thing here tonight. Are we ready for him? Let me ask myself this question and my brothers and sisters.
If the Imam is about to reappear and stand at your doorstep, you open the door, you find the Imam and you recognize him.
Do you think that you are ready for him? Your house is ready to host the Imam, to accommodate the Imam for one night? If the Imam says, I want to spend one night in your room, in your house,
is my house ready? My bedroom ready?
Let me go back to my bedroom and look at the walls. The walls, the pictures on the walls, the portraits on the walls, the CDs that I have, the tapes, the magazines, the books I have in my room, the pictures that I have. Are they conducive to receive the Imam, to host the Imam? Would I feel proud if he comes and looks at my bedroom and my office? Or I will feel embarrassed. So if I need him to come to me, to reach out to me, the first thing I have to do tonight is to make my room suitable for his reappearance. Imagine, just imagine, Imam wants to spend one night in your room, in your house, in your community. Is our community ready? Our youth are ready? Huh? We are ready for him? When we pray for him and we ask Allah to expedite his reappearance, is my house ready and my heart ready for him or not? I leave this answer with you. You don't have to tell me the answer. Go back tonight to your room and to your house and make yourself ready for the Imam. If you have bad tapes, audio tapes, video tapes, throw them away. This is not the attitude of an Islamic youth. You have to be the embodiment of the Islamic character. Life is too short. Sometimes they call me early in the morning in America. They tell me, Sayyid, we have a janaza today. We have a body. Come to pray on that body. I go and I find the body is 18 years old, 20 years old, 25 years old. Death is not reserved for the elderly and the sick. Sometimes you are in the peak of your power and strength and you go out and you may never come back home. Are we ready for that or not? Tonight is dedicated for Al-Abbas alayhi salam. We speak about leadership. This is the embodiment of Islamic leadership, Al-Abbas. 10 of the children of Imam Hussein alayhi salam were martyred in Karbala. 10 of them. One of them is Al-Imam Al-Hussein. One. But there are other children from other wives who were martyred on the soil of Karbala. But the most distinguishable one is Al-Abbas. One night is dedicated for him. Why? Al-Abbas had many options. He was not an old man. He was only 33 years old. But he knew that the life of eternity is not when you stay at home and relax. You have to do something for your community. You have to do something for your country. You have to do something for your family. You have to sacrifice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. In exchange for what? Allah has purchased from the community of the believers their wealth and their souls in exchange for what? بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ الْجَنَّةِ. Life of eternity is there. We remember Al-Abbas not once a year. Not once a year. All the time. بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. Al-Imam al-Sadiq says this about him. رَحِمَ اللَّهُ Al-Abbas, فَلَقَدْ آثَرَ وَأَبْلَى وَوَاسَى أَخَاهُ بِنَفْسِهِ. This is an Imam Zain al-Abidin.
فَلَقَدْ آثَرَ. He sacrificed. وَأَبْلَى. He successfully passed the test. وَوَاسَى. He stood in solidarity with his brother.
With his brother. I know some of you here in this audience and elsewhere, you don't have a background about Al-Abbas. We don't have time to mention about his life. But the last chapter, the last hour of his life, I am just shedding some light on the last hour, the most important one.
He had other options. He was a youth, just like you here. But he knew that this is the road for salvation. To stand in solidarity with his brother. وَوَاسَى أَخَاهُ بِنَفْسِهِ. Until he lost his arms, his two arms. حَتَّى قُطِعَتْ يَدَاهُ. Allah reimbursed him in paradise. فَعَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا بِجَنَاحَيْنِ أَخْضَرَيْنِ.
Two beautiful and green wings in paradise. يَطِيرُ بِهِمَا فِي الْجِنَانِ مَعَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. He navigates to any direction he loves in paradise. With angels surrounding him.
وَإِنَّ, this is the most important sentence here. The conclusion is here. وَإِنَّ لِلْعَبَّاسِ لَدَرَجَةً فِي الْجَنَّةِ يَغْبِطُهُ بِهَا جَمِيعُ الشُّهَدَاءِ. Allah has provided him with the highest position that is the cause of envy for all martyrs. All the martyrs, they envy him for his position in paradise.
This is Al-Abbas alayhi salam. On the eve of Ashura, he was guarding the camp of Imam Hussein. And suddenly he sees some dark, a ghost. He gets close to that ghost. He finds out that this is his sister Zainab. Sister Zainab, what are you doing outside the camp? You are supposed to stay inside. قري واستقري. Stay inside. Why you are out? You are not supposed to stand out. Zainab says, oh my dear brother Abbas, you know how much I adore you and love you. And I know I have only few hours remaining with you. So I came out لأحدثك بحديث. I have some confidential, some intimate story to share with you. You don't know about this story, but I am your older sister. I was there when this story took place. She said to him, do you mind to share the story? He said, this is the time of listening to you, Zainab. You are an inspiration for me. Tell me the story. He dismounts his horse. He wants to dismount. She says, no, I want you to stay there. She says to him, لما ماتت أمنا فاطمة, 50 years ago, our noble mother, our caring mother Fatima died. حزن عليها أبونا حزنا شديدا. Our father was so restless and saddened by her death. After a period of time, when his sadness subsided, he asked his brother Aqil. He said to him, اخطب لي امرأة ولدتها الفحولة من العرب. I want you to go and propose to a household, a lady that belongs to a household of magnanimity, chivalry and bravery. Aqil tells him, وَمَا تَصْنَعُ بِهَا? He answers, لِأَدَّخِرْ لِأُرْزَقَ مِنْهَا وَلَدًا أَدَّخِرُهُ لِيَوْمِ الشِّدَّةِ. I need to beget a son from that woman, from that wife, so I reserve him, keep him for the day of distress. Then Zainab turns to Abbas, her brother. She says to him, Ya Aba al-Fadl, my dear brother, today is the day of distress. Our noble father reserved you for such a day. And I don't want to encourage you more about today. Akhi Aba al-Fadl, البنات بناتك والأخوات أخواتك فلا تقصر في نصرة أخيك الحسين. This camp belongs to you. Those are your daughters and your sisters. So I want you to fulfill this mission that you have been ordained to it. You have been created for it. You have been designed for it. For this mission. He was 33 years old. And therefore on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein, when he was beleaguered, Al-Abbas alayhi salam, he saw how his brother was beleaguered. The camp of Hussein was surrounded by the enemies. They cut it off from the supply of water. And Al-Abbas, he was hearing the cries of the thirsty women and children. Al-Atash, Al-Atash, we are thirsty. They've been thirsty for 2 days since the 8th of Muharram until the 10th in the afternoon, more than 48 hours. And the date, October 3rd, 680 AD. Still the water is hot in Iraq, in Karbala. They were thirsty, asking for some drink. Al-Abbas came to his brother asking permission. Akhi Aba Abdullah, give me permission just to go and fight. Al-Hussein turns to him and tells him, Akhi Aba al-Fadl, أنت العلامة من عسكري وحامل لوائي. You are the standard bearer of my army. You are the landmark, the visible landmark of my army. If you go, if you get killed, my army will be disintegrated and dismantled. فإذا ذهب سقط لوائي وتفرق عسكري. Don't go. Beside, when you are here, Zainab is happy, Ruqayya is happy. All the women in the camp are happy. Their heart is consolidated by your presence. They feel safe and secured when Al-Abbas is standing there. So imagine if you go, what will happen to women and children? Don't leave me alone. I need you at this hour. I need you to stand next to me. After a while, Al-Abbas alayhi salam came again. And he said, Wallahi, ya Aba Abdullah, دعني أقاتل لقد ضاق صدري وأريد الانتقام من هؤلاء المنافقين. I can't take it anymore. I am about to explode. I can't hear the cries of the kids, the babies in the camp who are asking for some drink. Let me go. Al-Hussein gives him permission not to fight, just to go get to the river and get some water for the camp. So he takes the container, the water container with him, and he goes, he disperses the army. They surround him from all direction to prevent him from reaching the water lines of the Euphrates. But he dispersed them. And he gets right to the water line. Thirst took a toll on him. He was so thirsty. So he puts his hand in the river. He takes a handful of water. He brings it close. When he was about to drink, he remembered. He remembered that he's here for a mission, not to drink the water himself, but to take the water back to the camp, to the thirsty women and children who are waiting for him. Kids, they realized that Abbas went to the river to bring water, so they all gathered outside the tent waiting for that happy moment when he returns safely with some water with him. تذكر عطش أخيه الحسين. الله أكبر. He's so thirsty. He released the water. He does not drink. He said, Wallahi, I would never drink before the women and children in the camp. I make a vow not to drink before them. يا نفس من بعد الحسين هوني وبعده لا كان أن تكوني هذا الحسين وارد المنون وتشربين بارد المعين. Hussein is about to be killed thirsty and I enjoy the drink here. I would never do this. So he releases the water, send it back to the river. He fills the container. He was so joyful and happy and excited to go back to the camp. But ya mu'mineen, Allahu Akbar, ya mu'mineen, it's so hard. It is so hard to mention this. A soldier who made a victory by taking the water and now he's about to rush to the kids. Imagine kids are waiting there and you want to take some drinks for them. He was cut off. He was surrounded by the army, but he was fighting bravely.
while he was making his way, one of the soldiers, he laid for him in wait behind a tree. While Al-Abbas was carrying the skin water container with him, he dealt him a blow on his right arm. He severed the right arm. Al-Abbas alayhi salam, he took the container with his left arm, and he didn't care about his arm, his right arm. He was continuing forging ahead to make it to the camp. Another la'een, another soldier who was again hiding behind another tree, he dealt him another blow on his left arm. At this moment, the skin container falls to the ground. The water splashes on the ground. Al-Abbas stands there, beleaguered, surrounded by his army, by the army of Bani Umayyah in the middle. While he was standing there, another man approached him and he dealt him a blow on his head. Allahu Akbar. وقع إلى الأرض صريعا نادى أخي أبا عبد الله عليك من السلام. Imam Hussein was waiting for his brother to call upon him. Historians say this is the first time always Abbas addressed his brother Hussein, his elder brother Hussein, as my master, Sayyidi, my leader. But this is the first and the last time he called him as a brother, Akhi, Akhi, because now I want my brother to be next to me. Imam Hussein rushed to him, ذاد الخيل والرجال يمينا وشمالا قال لهم إلى أين تفرون وقد كسرتم ظهري إلى أين تفرون وقد قتلتم أخي. He came close to Al-Abbas alayhi salam. He found him armless. He found him the arrow embedded in his eye. His forehead was ruptured. Allahu Akbar ya mu'mineen. Al-Abbas alayhi salam, in that moment, he felt he could not see anymore. But he felt there is a movement around him. He thought one of the soldiers is going to behead him. He turned to him. He said to him, أقسم عليك بمن تعبد. يا هذا أقسم عليك بمن تعبد. إلا ما أمهلتني هنيه ليأتي أخي وابن والدي أودعه ويودعني. I put you to oath not to kill me now. Just give me one more chance. I am waiting for my older brother Hussein to come. I want to bid farewell to him and to tell him the reason why I could not bring water, to apologize to him and to Sukaina and to women. Al-Imam al-Hussein answered him, قال أخي أنا أخوك وابن والدك. قال أبا عبد الله على رأسي قال بلى قال ضع فمك على فمي. Al-Hussein approached him. He put his head on his lap. Al-Abbas refuses to put the head in the lap of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein, when he asks him, he tells him, أخي أبا عبد الله أنت تضع رأسي في حجرك وبعد ساعة من الذي يحتضن رأسك. Now you are hosting my head in your lap, but in about an hour from now, who's going to host your head? يا أبا عبد الله. Imam Hussein stands, returns back to the tent, despondent from living in this life, weeping and wiping his tears. The first one who came to his reception, أخته زينب. صاحت أخي أخي أبا عبد الله أين أخي أبا الفاضل. صاحت وعباساه وأخاه وضيعتنا بعدك. Oh my dear Abbas, what a tragic loss after you. Who's going to take care of us after you, ya Abbas? أريد أعتن الحام الضعين وأدور على يسار ويمين.
أحاجيه واشلع سهم عيني وقل له يا عباس وليانا عمد الحديد بكربلاء يا خسف القمر من هاشم فلتبكه عليا مضر
أو ما درت عن سرجه العباس خر.
If you stand for the reception, please, they are mourning Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Let's mourn with them and with Umm al-Baneen and with Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra this night.
نرحب ونستقبل المجلس الحسيني بارك الله بهم.